The Shiur Tanya for today, the 15th of Shvat, Tu B'Shvat, is on page 283, in middle of chapter 21, Perek Chof Aleph, in Tanya. The Alter Rebbe is making a distinction between the speech of a human being and the divine speech, in that the human being, once the word is spoken, it has left him and become a separate entity. Whereas in the Eibishter, even after Vayemer Elikim, even after God speaks, the word does not separate from him, and the only comparison, the only similarity between divine speech and human speech is that in both cases, what was revealed, what was concealed is now revealed. The thought that the outsider, the listener, could not know until the speaker speaks it, the creation could not be aware of God until God reveals himself. And that revelation, whether it's in creation or in Torah to the Navi, that's called speech. Even after God has spoken, has revealed himself, but that speech remains completely united with him. And we can compare this to the human speech, but in human speech when it hasn't yet left the person, when it is still, every thought, every knowledge, and every emotion contains within itself its potential revelation, its potential expression. While that expression is contained within the emotion and within the knowledge, there the word, which will later come out as speech, is equal or similar to the word in God after God has spoken it. So God's spoken word is like the human being's unspoken word. So in the emotion, in the knowledge, or in the emotion before it becomes a thought in the mind, before it rises from the heart to the mind, and then the mind thinks of it with words. In other words, when the mind knows something, the original knowledge, that's without letters, or at least without letters for their own sake, letters for the sake of letters. It's only when there has been some knowledge, and that knowledge produced an emotion in the heart, and the heart is now sending back a message to the mind, which is now thought. In thought, there are letters. That's where letters begin to exist. So before that happens, in the heart, before it goes back to the mind to become a thought, she'oz ha-yu-e-si-yis ha-machshav ve-ha-dibur, ha-zeh, ha-nim-shoch es-mechem da-chuk-a-zu, then the letters of the thought and of the speech, which are coming from this desire in the heart, b'keyach b'lev, they are still in potential within the heart, u'miyuchod de-shon b'tachlos ha-yichod b'shar-shon, and they are there totally united, completely one with their source, Shehein ha-chochma v'seichel shebe-meyach v'chemdo chuka shebe-lev. What is the source of this word or thought? The knowledge in the mind and the emotion in the heart. So although there already exists its potential expression, but while they're still in potential, there they are completely bottled, in the same way that the word of God, with which God created the world, is bottled to him even after he said it. In this way, the thought and word of God is completely united, with an utter, complete oneness with God himself, even after God's word became actual in the creation of the world, Just as united as the word was before God spoke, that's how united it is after God spoke. And there is no difference in God at all from before the spoken word, before creation, to after the word was spoken and creation came into being. Whereas in a human being, while the word is still in potential before it is spoken, there is an achdus, there is a yichud, and the word is bottle in its source. But once the word is spoken, then it leaves the person, it's outside of him now, and has become a separate entity. Whereas with the Eibishter, it always remains within him and united with him. El el habruyim, the change that takes place in the spoken word, when God said, let there be, the world came into existence. So something was accomplished through the revelation of the word. And here we're saying that it's the same as before it was revealed. So the difference is only relative to the creation, to the recipient. Hamekablim chayusa mebuchinas dibure yisbareich, those creations that receive their life from God's word, bebuchinas yitziyasi kvar el hapeyo bebriyas ha'ilameis. There are those creations that receive their life from God's word only when the word comes out into action, actualized. Whereas if it remains within, then it would create a different kind of creation. The creations that belong to the world that is called Alma Diskasya, and it wouldn't be the physical world, the revealed world, which is created through the speech being actualized and revealed externally. So the word of God has to be clothed within them to give them life, through a chain of descent from level to level, cause and effect, without skipping, but one level causing the other, so that it's a gradual descent. And there also has to be numerous contractions, tzimtzumim, and various kinds of tzimtzumim, until the created being can accept that energy and that existence coming from God, without being nullified and without undoing their existence. So the speech of God is actualized rather than potential. Not that it makes any difference in the Eibishter whether the word is within the potential or has been actualized, because either way it remains within him. The difference is that part of the speech that remains within him, which basically is called thought, that creates the hidden world, the concealed world, Alma Diskasya. Whereas when God actualizes the speech and reveals it externally, that creates a revealed world, the world as we see it, the dry land, as compared to the ocean, because the creatures of the ocean are concealed within their world, whereas the creatures of the dry land are revealed within their world, in their element. And so, the purpose of saying the word, Vayemer Elokim, the purpose is to create creatures that can exist only from an actual revelation, from an actual revealed word. And even then, it has to come through many chain of levels, and many tzimtzumim, until it is decreased, until it is contracted enough that these kinds of creatures should be able to receive that life without becoming bottle. Because if they become bottle, then we're back again to the bittle of the creatures of the ocean who can't live without their origin, without their source, without their element. Whereas God's purpose in creating the world as it is that the creature should be able to exist without an obvious bittle to their source, so that there could be this mistake, allowing for the possibility of the mistake of people thinking that the world doesn't have a creator, God forbid. And as Al-Tareba will say later on, in tomorrow's Shia, how all these tzimtzumim, and even after all these tzimtzumim, the effect is only relative to the creation, but not to the Creator. In today's Hayem Yom for Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat, the Rebbe writes, "Kishenokshu lahatfis chelik sheni shel hatezer," when they were about to print the second part of Teira Eir, "Kvar neidu lahachsidim asher yeshnam hagoyis ubiurim mehatzemach tzedek al hamaimorim." The chsidim already knew at that point that there were many hagoyis and explanations from the Tzemach Tzedek on the maimorim that would be printed in the second volume of Teira Eir. "V'yachtziru ba'tzemach tzedek," and they pleaded with the Tzemach Tzedek, "asher yatfisim im hamaimorim," that the Tzemach Tzedek should print his notes and his biurim with the maimorim of the Teira Eir. "V'yimoyin ha-Tzemach Tzedek," but the Tzemach Tzedek declined. "V'yachalim cholim," then the Tzemach Tzedek had a dream, "ashes kenei admar hazokin bo levakri," that his grandfather, the Alter Rebbe, came to visit him, "u'mevakshei lahatfisam," and in the dream the Alter Rebbe pleaded with him, asked him to print his notes and his explanations. "Mikol mokim helim hadavar," but the Tzemach Tzedek kept it a secret, didn't tell anybody, "ad ashegam shloisha mibonav cholmu hacholim hazeh," until three of his sons also had the same dream, all three of them, "veisapru laviyem," and they told their father about it, "veoz hiskim lahatfiz gam hagaisov v'biyurav l'chelek hasheni," and then he agreed to print his hagois and his biyurim to the second part of Teira Eir, and because of reasons mentioned earlier in Hayem Yom, because of the censors and so on, the yikru lei, so they called the second chelik of Teira Eir, they called it b'shem l'kutei Teira. Instead of calling it Teira Eir, they called it l'kutei Teira. And as Rabbi Zelikson points out in his notes on Hayem Yom, that in the Misper Koton, l'kutei Teira is the same gematria as Shnei Zalman in Misper Koton.